and the great report by Brother Easter. Wonderful. And I'm convinced that our God is not limited. He said, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he is our source. He's our source. Psalm 62 in verse number 5 speaks of the fact that the Lord is our expectation. And Psalm 121, I read it again yesterday, and it said, the Lord is my helper. And I'm grateful that he's a very present help in time of trouble. The field is the world. The seed is the word of God. And God desires all men to be saved. That is accomplished by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. And we're to walk by faith. And we're to give by faith. And so I want to speak a little bit tonight on that little thought on the golden key of the Christian life is faith. And so turn, if you would, please, to the familiar passage in the book of Hebrews 11, and we'll share a thought or two from this portion tonight. I want to say thank you for allowing us to be here. I'm grateful for the missionaries that they've been able to fellowship with and hear about what God's doing in their life and their world, and it is our desire to be a blessing and help. We're grateful for the church and for, as already been mentioned, the fact of the accommodations and for all the meals that's been provided. We thank you for your prayers, and we're trusting the Lord to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. 4 years ago was the first time I preached on faith promise in this particular church, and we've watched God increase year by year, and we have expectation that on Sunday there'll be another increase for the glory of God. And by the way, I'll tell you, God will be a big God any place you let him. Amen. Yeah. It's Hebrews chapter 11. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I'm reminded tonight that that faith is a very special part of our life. And by the way, you can't be saved apart from faith. And you can't please God apart from faith. And you'll faith be it unto thee. I mentioned it already that Paul had mentioned in the book of 2 Corinthians. Close to their brother. And so faith makes God's presence very real. And even when no one else is near, he is near. Now unbelief, however, leaves us isolated in the crowd. And so many people are haunted by the ghost of guilt. God has promised not only to forgive our sins, but to remember them against us no more forever. Don't get excited about it. That's just forever. He said he'd remember our sins against us no more forever. And so a lot of folks are haunted by the ghost of guilt because of the lack of confidence in full forgiveness of God's grace. And so faith is our acceptance of God's acceptance of us. Mark that down, remember forever. Faith is this. It is to recognize the fact that God has forgiven us. And so I see the description of faith is given us in this chapter, verse 1 and 2. It describes what faith is in the life of the believer. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is the acceptance of God's acceptance of us. And by the way, I've been accepted in the beloved. I'm his, he's mine. And faith is not positive thinking. I say to you, it's not positive. It's not following a hunch. If you're following a hunch and go to the mission field on a hunch, you'll have a bunch of problems. But it's not following a hunch. And then again, it's not a feeling of optimism. It's not hoping for the best, but that's not biblical faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we're going to be given an opportunity. Before the meeting's over, you'll be given an opportunity to express your faith in God. What has God done? He's been faithful in the past, has he not? You said we've just come out of the pandemic and we've lost some people and had some people to die and some folk move away. It'll always be that way. But God's still on the throne. Yes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not saying. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, and that substance means this: solid ground. Solid ground. That substance, there is something beneath us to stand upon. Praise God in the Lamb forever. I'm glad I can stand upon the Word of God that never ever changes. Circumstances change, people change, and sometimes we change, but God never changes. And so by faith, we're standing on solid ground. All other ground is sinking sand. So we're standing on solid ground. And so we are living by faith. I never think of this matter of living by faith without hearing Brother Roloff in my memory back here singing, living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. It's a matter of living by faith. And he exemplified that in his life. And so when we're living by faith, we are not walking on eggshells and jello. We're standing upon a solid rock. It is this, and so we're standing on a solid rock, and the materialistic man says, don't talk to me about faith, talk to me about real things. And that's a person that doesn't know theology from a hole in the ground. And so he means the things that can be experienced with some of the five senses of man, the things that can be seen, the things that you can smell or hear, taste or touch. Are these the only things that's real? Notice with me what Paul said again in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And let's see what he did say in verse number 18. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hallelujah to God. That's enough to go debate with. I say to you, thanks be to God, which is more real, that temporary or that which is eternal? I'm saying this word is the eternal word of God. His promises are trustworthy, and we trust him by faith. And so faith is evidence of things not seen. It's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've experienced that in a restaurant sometime after I ordered a piece of meat, and it's evidence of things not seen. But that's not the interpretation. I'm saying God is faith is convincing proof that God will keep His word. I'm going to say to you, if God tells you to buy the moon, sign the contract. But if it didn't tell you to buy the truck, you might pay for it 3 or 4 times. I know that by experience. I'm saying it's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is the proof of unseen reality. There can be no evidence without the reality that gave rise to that evidence. And so we're saved by grace through faith. We're living by faith. Our faith is increased by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Listen, if we're not growing in our faith, we're not adhering to the word of God. And so that's why we ought to hide God's word in our heart, that we might not sin against him. And so faith is evidence of things not seen. There can be no evidence without the reality that gave rise to the evidence. And it's so important that we understand this. If we do, we shall see the for, because God can do anything. Therefore, if you have enough faith, he will do anything you ask. Well, let me put it in the right bracket. Psalms 37 verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you're delighting in the Lord, you'll not be asking something contrary to this book, or contrary to God's will. There's a lot of people who accuse God of things he's not this has very little resemblance to biblical faith, as we see from the God's word. And so we do not name it or claim it, and we cannot lightly claim that if God does not name that. If God, and that's what I'm talking about, faith promise given. When I started out with a dollar a week to give them to missions. And that was a big deal back there. Man, that was a big deal. I just got saved and I learned the importance of tithing. Now they're saying we ought to be given to missions by faith. So I started out with a dollar, and God said $3, and then he said $5, and then he said $10, and then he said $20, and then he said $25, then he said $30, and then he said $50, then he said $75, then he said $85, then it said $100, then it said $125, and I'm saying, hey, I can't do that, but I tell you, God has, and God will give more through you than he will ever give to you. And so the Bible said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And so we give by faith, and we're trusting the Lord. He means the things that can be experienced with those five senses that men are talking about. Don't know. It might sound good, but until God names it, we cannot claim it. If God tells you, as I said, buy the moon, sign the contract. But listen, there's a lot of folks that run out on a limb and said, God led me here. God never leads contrary to his word. We're talking about faith is actually our response. Are you listening? Faith is actually our response to the revelation of God's will by his word. It is to recognize this by his word and by his spirit. And so again, just have faith is just simply silly advice if there's no object of faith. But our Jesus said to Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Amen. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I'm going to say to you, don't be too hard on Peter, because we have been guilty in our lives when our faith has failed. But I'm going to say to you, the object of our faith never fails. Amen. He's a big God. He's my God. He's your God. If he can save in America, he can save in Chile. If he can save in America, he can save in China. If he saved here, he can save there. I'm saying God's a big God. And we believe that by faith. And we have confidence in the fact that the God who saved us and the God who called us and the God who commissions us and sends us forth, is he is able to supply our need. Now, I think there ought to be preparation in our heart, but we follow God by faith. And so just have faith is silly advice if there's no object of that faith. And so faith does not bring anything into existence. Faith is evidence of things that are already in the heart and mind of God. God does have a plan. God does have a will. God does have a place. And I'm to follow him by faith. And if I'm doing that, listen, God is glorified. I am blessed and others are benefited every time when I do that. And so I cannot truly believe until a thing is settled. Anything else is just positive thinking. Thinking or wishful desire, faith is evidence in my heart that God has spoken to me. That's how I got saved, brother. That night I went lost, not looking for God, but he came looking for me. And he spoke to my heart. And I, by faith, said, Lord Jesus, save my soul. And he did. And the devil comes around and said, you didn't really get saved, but he's a liar and the father of it. The Bible said in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In the book of 2 Timothy 2:13, he said, if we believe not, yet he abideth forever. Amen. He abideth faithful. I'm saying, God, help us realize our salvation, our relationship is settled forever in heaven. And that will be settled in our heart. But our fellowship is determined by our obedience to Christ. And we obey him by faith. My daddy was a lost man, but he said to me one time, he said, I'd hate to think I was so bad I had to go to church all the time. And because I was going to church pretty regular, you know. But listen, I didn't go to church because I had to. God put a want to down in the gable end of my soul. And I love to be with God's people. I agree with Psalmist David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And by the way, I believe this. I believe that Hebrews 10:25 is still in the book. And he said, forsaking not the assembling of yourself together, it's a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we ought to be meeting more. Amen. And so it's evidence in my heart that God has spoken to me. Now, the dynamic of faith, verse 6, he said, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he to come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so faith is the most dynamic force in the world because it releases the hand of omnipotence. It gives us insight. And so there's three major thoughts in the verse. First of all, the lack of faith displeases God. The lack of faith. Listen, if we don't have faith in God, we will not remain faithful. It's recognized. The lack of faith displeases God. This verse said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The lack of faith is unbelief. In the book of Hebrews, again, he said in chapter 12, he said, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I personally believe he's talking about unbelief because he spends an entire chapter dealing with faith, the roll call of faith, all the way through chapter number 11. Then he said, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It's the fact of unbelief. The lack of faith displeases God. The lack of faith is unbelief. And so that greatly displeases God. If I'm not walking by faith, I'm not pleasing God. Now, I'm saying, I believe this. The lack of faith is unbelief. that greatly displeases God, and unbelief is sin, and there's no greater sin. It's the parent sin. It's the parent sin. Unbelief is a sin out of which all other sins grow, and the one sin that keeps a person out of heaven is unbelief. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. He's this night under the condemnation of God. We need to recognize whether we're on a foreign field or outside our doors, that behind the faces of men and women, boys and girls, there's a soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell, and they're blinded about their need. They're walking on in their lostness and darkness, and have no interest in the things of God. But I'm grateful that God can shine a light, and God can convict, and God can bring that individual to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We've had a pastor's daughter in our church has been babysitting for one of the neighbors across the way, just a young couple. And so she invited them to church. Pastor had talked to them, and she invited them to church, and they came. They came on Friends Sunday a few weeks ago, and then they came on. They came Wednesday night this week, and Brother Philbeck preached and gave an invitation, and those two came forward and got gloriously saved by the grace of God. And I say, what a blessing! What wonderful! I'm glad God took the scales off their eyes, that they will see themselves as God sees them. And by the way, when you see Him clearly, you'll see your unworthiness and the wretchedness of your soul. We need to see Him, amen. And so come back with them. For if we please God, it really doesn't matter whom else we displease. But if we displease God, it really doesn't matter whom we please. There is no pleasing God without believing in God. And could I say to you, they cannot believe until they hear. That's why we pray for missionaries. That's why missionaries go to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may hear. They can't believe until they hear. It's a must. They must hear the gospel. And that's why the Lord Jesus has called men to go to the mission field. And so the reason God demands faith is that faith is the moral response to God's character. And faith gives the honor that is due to His name. Faith. Do you have faith in God? You said, preacher, I have faith. That's so simple. I know it is. But God knows faith, and because God honors faith. God honors faith. Because faith honors God. And so you understand that through faith, God gives us treasures. Hallelujah, God. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'll go from here, the Lord willing. I'll go up the road here somewhere up in the Campbell, Missouri, and be there in a meeting next week. And I found this through the years, that wherever I go, I find people of the same bloodline. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God. Amen. Seem like I've known them for life, but I just met them today. Yeah. I'm saying to you, when you get saved, God put you right in the middle of a great big family. Amen. I'm thankful to be a part of the family of God. And so through faith, God gives us treasures. And so the rewards, He rewards them that diligently seek Him. I'm going to say this, put this down, be reminded of this, that God always compensates those who do His will. Amen. God always compensates those who do it. Our God longs to show Himself mighty to people who trust Him. So faith is the key to meeting our needs, whatever they may be. It's faith in God. Romans 5:1, faith in God brought salvation to our heart. And we're justified by faith. And the fullness of the Spirit comes by faith. We trust God by faith. And victory over the world is by faith, 1 John 5:4. And victory over Satan is by faith, Ephesians 6:16. And answered prayer comes through faith, Matthew 11:24. And so by faith, God gives us pleasure. And through faith, God gives, by faith, we give God's pleasure. And through faith, God gives us treasures. Amen. You might not have enough money to pay attention, but if you're a child of God, you're a rich individual. And so I want to speak just a tad about the matter of the development of faith. How do we develop faith? How's our faith developed? How do we develop the kind of faith that pleases God? Notice chapter 12. He said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is he? He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised and shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so here we are. We saturate our lives, our heart, our mind with the Word of God. We got a fellow in our church that does battle with depression. He's had some real bouts with depression. And so years ago, we talked, and I was able to direct him to some verses of scripture that has helped him in his life. But just recent, he was out about 2 weeks and just went through a terrible, terrible time. And so I said to him, I said, here's what I'd suggest that you do. Go back to the book of Lamentations and read Lamentations chapter 3 and find out what Jeremiah was experiencing in those days. And then he said, it was when I remembered the mercies of the Lord. They're brand new every morning. When I remember the mercies of the Lord, God began to transform him from that state of depression to a state of rejoicing. When I remembered the mercies of the Lord, when he saved me to keep me out of hell, when I remembered the mercies of the Lord, when he dropped some handfuls in my life, when I remembered the mercies of the Lord, great, great, and he deals with the mind. In the mind. You see, it's in the mind. The devil attacks the mind. He accuses our motives in order to alter our mission and get us out of the will of God. Yes, sir. And so the fight is real, and Satan is real, and he is powerful, but he's not all powerful. Amen. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And so Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing by the word. And so the Bible is a book that will develop our faith. Read it every day. Meditate upon the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Brother Roloff emphasized so much during his ministry of memorization of the Word of God. I remember when I was at Tennessee Temple, I don't know about Brother Easter, but I was in some of those classes. I took the book of Galatians, and I was assigned to read the book of Galatians 75 times. And then we had a test, and I had to write down 75 verses, word perfect and punctuation perfect. It was tough, tough, tough sledding. But I'm grateful that I was made to do that, because along the way, after all those years, God reaches back in the catalog of my mind and brings out a passage of scripture to help somebody. It helps me, but the same God who helps me helps them. And so it's a matter of filling my life with the Lord. Love it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Obey it. And you'll find faith. Faith welling up in your own heart and soul. And so then, listen, repent. I'm talking about developing our faith. It's a matter of saturating our life with the Word of God. But repent of all known sins. But what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We're to lay that aside. Remember that unbelief causes an evil heart. If you have difficulty believing God, it may be because you have unconfessed sin that's tripping you up in your life. And so when we sin, we don't pick up the rug and sweep it under the rug. Oh, no, no. We confess and forsake. If we cover our sin, God said there will be no prosperity. But if you confess and forsake, there's mercy. Hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. I say, use the faith you already have. Run the race that's set before you. Faith is active. It's not just mere belief, but it's belief with legs on. It's a matter of doing what God said. And so keep your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, not circumstances. Looking unto Jesus, not personalities. Looking unto Jesus, not Washington. Looking unto Jesus, not Fox News. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes upon Him. There was those Greeks that came up to the feast day in John chapter 12, and they said to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." And by the way, that's what is needed down at Unity Baptist Church. We need to see Jesus. Pastor needs to see Jesus. Song leader needs to see Jesus. Listen, congregation needs to see Jesus, and we can do it by faith. And so we come back to this. Use the faith that we already have, run the race, and then keep our eyes upon looking unto Jesus. Faith is the product of keeping your eyes on Jesus. And so it's looking away from all else that might distract you. Any object or thing that would distract you, it's looking away from that. And so you take your eyes off self. By that, there's nothing good in us. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And quit even thinking about it. It's a matter of without Him, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. It's a matter of turning my eyes off self and turning my eyes off Satan. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe that there's satanic oppression that's very, very active today in our realms. But Dr. Wells had a man in to preach one night, and when he got to the pulpit, he's an evangelist, and you'd know him if I called his name, but I'm not going to call his name. He said, "Well, the devil came to church tonight, and so I'm going to run him out." And so he got down from the pulpit, walked down the side aisle. He's rebuking the devil's and casting the devil out, talking to the devil, always all the way down back to the vestibule across and come back up this side and come back to the pulpit. Dr. Wells called me on my way home and said, "Brother Joe, what do you think of the service tonight?" I said, "Dr. Wells, let me put it like this. I'm a little bit suspicious of anyone who's on speaking terms with the devil." And he said, "Well, that's what I thought." And so he hasn't had him back again. But I'm saying, listen, you're no match for the devil. I doubt seriously that you've ever really attracted the devil himself. But he is real. And there's many demonic spirits that does attack the mind and does oppress. But you recognize you're no match for that. I'm no match for that. But I have the Bible. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so it speaks of dependence and trust in Jesus. Jesus is worthy of my trust. He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. And so if I come to the place in my life and I'm really wanting to know what God wants me to do, I can by faith ask God to show me what He wants me to do. I said to Dr. Lakin, the man said to him one day, said, I'd like to drive a Cadillac. He said, "Well, maybe you ought to be walking different." He said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "The Bible said in Psalm 84:11, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them who walk uprightly." We're saved by grace through faith. Our faith sometimes is weak. But if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can see mountains move. But our faith, but we need, and what is revival? What is revival and missions goes hand in hand. And what is revival? It's the renewal of obedience to God, doing what He says to you. Now, I try to find the mind of God. I probably have literally thousands of messages that I've written out. And some I preach several times. Some I preach one time. Some I never preach the second time at all. But there's some that I wonder where they came from. But I'm trying to say, I'm not interested in just preaching a sermon. I want to try to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. I want Him to speak to my heart. And I want Him to speak to your heart. Now, if the Lord asks the question tonight of you, and he says, how is it that you have no faith? The Word of God talks about little faith, talks about great faith, and talks about no faith. But Jesus did say, according to your faith, be it unto thee. Brother Roloff used to sing this. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the heart with glory. Yes, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. He didn't come for a visit. He came to stay. I'm grateful that I know him by faith. And I'm grateful that I've watched him by faith move mountains. And I've watched him put families back together. I've watched souls birthed into the family of God by faith through the Word of God. May God help us to be submissive to him and let our light so shine that others may